It's beautiful sunshine. It's refreshing showers. It's thunderstorms and torrential rains. It's hills, mountains, and forests abounding in wealth. It's valuable mineral deposits abundantly embedded within her bowels. It's various species of animals, ranging from the smallest type to the king of the jungles. It's beautiful flora and fauna. Its morals, customs, arts, and rich traditions dating into antiquity. Verily, the cradle of the world's civilization looms before us. Indeed, we think about the pioneer missionaries who surrendered themselves completely to the Master, laid themselves unreservedly on the altar of service for their brethren, and brave the hazards of the jungles, the then referred to with dread white man's grave, and kindle the flame of Christianity, which has been developed into a fire that is burning with a heat of increasing intensity and spreading with uninterrupted rapidity. Suddenly, with joy and thanksgiving, a mental picture vividly appears before us of the thousands of missionaries now dispersed around the globe in general, and in Africa in particular, being witnesses of Jesus Christ, and the millions of dollars being currently spent by you magnanimous Christians, hearted sisters and brethren, donations made sometimes under sacrifice to share with the less fortunate the blessings which have been your great fortune to possess and win the world for Christ through Christian education and evangelism. Indeed, with pride and exhilaration, my thoughts generate around 27 sovereign, free, and independent states that have their set goals and steady purposes. The Republic of Cameroon, I refer to, Central African Republic, Chad, Dahomey, Ethiopia, the Republic of the Ivory Coast, the Republic of Congo, Gabon, the Republic of China, Guinea, Congo-Brazzaville, Mauritania, Malagasy, Morocco, Libya, Mali, Niger, the Federation of Nigeria, Somalia, Sudan, Tunisia, the Republic of Senegal, Sierra Leone, the Republic of Togo, United Arab Republic, Upper Volta, and my own native land, Liberia. With feelings of disgust and chagrin, I think about the independent nation of the Union of South Africa, whose contemptuous, diabolical apartheid policy denies the teeming majority of its depressed and suppressed peoples human respect, common decency, individual freedom, liberty and justice fundamentally due them, and constitutes a great threat to the peace and security, not only of the African continent, but the entire world. Verily, with anxiety, grave concern, and indignation, I think about those dependent territories of Africa whose sons and daughters are still under suppression, oppression, and exploitation, whose people are woefully being denied their God-given rights of fundamental freedom and liberty, peoples to whom justice and equality under the law are not meted out, and who only have the inherent right to human dignity and respect, but are deprived of the enjoyment thereof. We are induced to ask imploringly our God, how much longer will these brutalities and indignities be borne by creatures created in your own image and likeness in common with others of our one human family, destined to reflect true beauty, idealism, dignity, and love with all of the blessings emanating bountifully from a benign, omnipotent Father. May he grant that the end will come not in a distant future, but in the very present. It is truly absurd and vain, to say the least, for men supposed to have consciousness of the 20th century to engage in the base practices current in the preceding ones. We are living in a changed world, and men must change accordingly. Colonialism in all of its forms and vestiges must only be regarded by the diehards as a system whose existence must no longer be. It has to be and will be exterminated. And wherever its tentacles are spread or roots are found, same will be destroyed eventually, because God has thus willed and ordained it. And those who have been and still are being affected thereby definitely can and will no longer endure and tolerate it. Those wicked, dehumanized men who cannot, or rather will not, observe the handwritings on the walls of this our present time and persist with hardened hearts to keep in colonial bondage the distressed and exploited peoples of Africa, sons and daughters of a powerful father, will be made to answer for their nefarious act. God's power is still the same. And I boldly declare, without fear of contradiction, that his love for his people has not diminished. Neither is his ear deaf to their cries, nor his feelings dull to their sufferings. Their sweat, tears, and blood are crying out from the ground. And it is positive that in his own time and way, due relief will be given by him. It is my sure conviction that those who, by proper exertion of influence, can bring cessation to this system in whatever form the regime is carried on, and fail to do so, but show indifference thereto, and are passively condoned seem, will not be considered guiltless, nor can they expect to escape the wrath of God. The hope of a changing Africa. Truly, the 20th century Africa is entirely different from the Africa that existed in centuries before. The ferment of nationalism and the upsurge for self-determination and independence, like a tidal wave beating against the shores of all Africa, and like a sweeping hurricane with imperceptible velocity penetrating all of its vast areas, have produced a people within the same geographical limitations whose latent qualities are manifesting themselves with outlooks, yearnings, expectations, and demands of great dimensions. It is absolute folly for anyone to be deluded in thinking that they will find contentment and satisfaction with substitutes for their longings, strivings, just ambition, aspirations, purposes, and goals that satisfy it not. The change Africa has brought forth a people who desire to be regarded, viewed, esteemed and accepted as Africans, pure and simple, having their own genuine culture and background that gave them animation, satisfaction, and pride. Formerly, diversity of influences, British, French, Spanish, Italian, Portuguese, and Dutch, dominating African life had tendencies of shaping the outlook of the African. But the true basic African culture is now being positively excited in the expression of a personality which it is hoped by every African will not be mistaken and wrongly interpreted by others. In actuality, the change that has come to Africa has caused the leaders of church and nations of the world to view and give consideration to this continent with greater seriousness and concern, and portray a demonstration of interest unlike to that displayed in yesteryears. Realistic approaches are now being made by those sympathetic to the African cause, to the solution of the problems, those specifically related to Africa, yet are worldwide in their general effect. However peculiar the Africans may be considered by some to be, they wish not to be taken in isolation from others. They should be regarded as a part, and an inseparable, integral part, and potential part, too, of the one world community. Africa is but a link of the world chain whose strength or condition is reckoned by it. A frail Africa only will result in a frail world, while a developed, resourceful Africa will produce a more potential world worthy for all men to live into the glory and honor of God, our common Father. Love in its simplicity and purity, childlike love, for the peoples of the continent of Africa by others, should be continuously expressed with genuine altruism. In this, lovers of our Lord have always been patterns. This truly should lead professed philanthropists to distribute reliefs and benefits and to show their generosities without reservations for personal interests or attachment of political or economic strings and concern for expediences in competition with others in the ideological battle. Scientists of the world, yea, mankind in general, and those in particular who have triumphantly succeeded in the space and outer space race, take pride justly and today rejoice in the victorious feat of science. Persistent and relentless researches in and out of laboratories, myriad of tests and experiments carried out, and trials made involving risk of human life have resulted in proving the skill, ingenuity, and ability of man to cycle the Earth in space and outer space, and made it possible for him to behold as never before the handiworks and glories of God displayed in the firmaments and declared in the heavens. Endless will be their scientific search and research and probe as the insatiable knowledge of man increases and the horizon of his vision enlargens like the ever-widening ripple produced by a pebble dropped into the water. He seeks restlessly and untiringly to familiarize the wonderful and to approximate the most remote. But why? May I not ask that as much or more time and effort be not spent in knowing more about this our planet, upon which we have been placed by God, and making life thereon the more worth living and enjoyable for those inhabitants thereof who are existent understanding, and are suffering from hunger and disease, with concomitant indignities, miseries, spiritual enslavement due to ignorance and poverty. Such odious state in which they find themselves shackled and unable to liberate themselves can surely lead to and be responsible for confusion and chaos. Indeed, much is being done in this direction by the good and magnanimous people of this great Christian nation and others, whom, like Abu Ben Adam, the love of God have blessed. But when we view with appropriate seriousness and human concern the needs of the less fortunate peoples of this our one world, despised throughout in real need of aid, we are inclined to declare our observation that the past and present very generous humanitarian acts indebtedly acknowledged by the benefited and obliged peoples of Africa in particular, constitutes a tremendous beginning for satisfying the vast demand. In this respect, may God grant that Christian men and women in particular would meet the challenge implicit in the great theme of this session of your union. Ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and Judea, and even unto Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. This constitutes the imperative injunction of our blessed Master, which we should execute obediently and willingly, however difficult we may find it. The extent of our witnessing is to the earth's remotest bounds, and the condition indiscriminatory. Accepting compromises and stopping before reaching the end will not qualify us to receive the sought-after blessed pronouncement of "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." A hope for changing Africa. There is great hope for the changing Africa. We take immense pride in this fact and heartily rejoice over the thought of it. However may be the illiterate condition of its people, or even their wretched state, and their impatience to alter their state of ignorance, poverty, and disease, Africans have faith in God and nature, and a goodly growing number believe in Jesus Christ and have knowledge of his power. They have yearnings, strivings, ideals, and aspirations in common with the good and great peoples of the world. They may now be weak, considered backward, and actually in need of help. And even those who are blinded will touch God's right hand in their blindness and will be lifted up, strengthened, and rendered capable continuously to make their sure, concrete contribution to the betterment of the world, wherein all men may live in true dignity, respect, freedom, liberty, prosperity, security, and peace, to the glory of God, our common Creator. That which is most needed to materialize the great hope for Africa is that which is the unmistakable need of the entire world. That is, the saturation of the principles of Jesus Christ in the developed being and nature of men and women, so that they would abide in him and thereby be abundant fruit bearers. World leaders and peoples in general, becoming completely controlled and governed by those principles, will truly rid the world in general, and Africa in particular, of the baneful social ills and diabolical destructive evils that infest it, and the miseries and sufferings that plague mankind would cease. When the lives of men and women have been truly changed, like children in the Christ pattern, through evangelism and Christian education, which I particularly advocate, and other processes, they will then love their brother as themselves, treating one another with due tolerance, respect, and dignity, and unconsciously observe the golden rule. Mistrust, suspicions, irritations, bitterness, retaliations, revenge, trespassing, hatred, oppression, suppression, exploitation, domination, tyranny, injustices, and human extermination for selfish ends would cease, and the world community would then radiate true beauty, love, joy, and peace, which state was destined by the all-supreme Creator. But vile and rebellious man perpetually makes it difficult to attain. Let none doubt that by the selfless and unselfish action of African leaders and the objective and purposeful living of the people, The fulfillment of this prophecy will continuously be made. Princes shall come out of Egypt. Ethiopia shall soon stretch up her hands unto God. My dear friends, all those who aid in the materialization of this will, in all certainty, receive their sure reward, the hope for a changing Africa. Mr. President, may I take this occasion to present to you this small token of affection and esteem and oneness in Christ Jesus our Lord from the people of the Baptist Brotherhood of Liberia.
Now, I asked Dr. Talbert if I should open it, because when Ms. Hunt and I were going around the world, we always had to ask. In some countries you did, and in some countries you didn't. And Dr. Talbert tells me that I am to open this gift so that you may see it. But Dr. Talbert, I think you're going to help me. I never could open a present by myself. I think I get too excited. Can you imagine an ivory gavel from Africa with a gold band, and I don't have my glasses on? What does it say, Dr. Talbert?
She doesn't have her glasses on.
The inscription. May I read the inscription?
Yes, sir. He'll read it for me. I can't even find them. I'm so excited. He can't either.
I read it, ma'am. Presented to the Women's Missionary Union of the Southern Baptist Convention from the Liberia Baptist Missionary and Educational Convention.
Oh, Dr. Talbert, thank you so much. And on behalf of Women's Missionary Union, I accept it. And we shall keep it always and remember you and this night. Thank you. Thank you. just heard all this clapping. We don't clap in our heads.
Dr. Talbert, I didn't thank you.